This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two, Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Hey, coming up this hour, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we'll get you that going along, as well as Bobby Belt, who's one of my favorite guests on this show. Anytime we've got Cowboys in the news, we bring on Bobby, good Cowboys insider. He's the co-host of the Boys and Girl podcast, all on Dallas. And he covers the team as good as anybody in the business. Give us a little more insight into the Dak Prescott deal. As I've been talking about this morning, it is still being analyzed and processed, not just so much the numbers. The numbers are just numbers, right? He's going to make the, you know, $42 million part of the deal, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is, it's more of the process. How did this come about? Why did the Cowboys wait so long? Why were they forced into a corner where they could have watched their quarterback walk away in free agency at the end of this year? He's willing to do it one time, play on the franchise tag. He was going to do it a second time and then possibly go get paid even more in the open market. As I've been saying all week since this deal came down on Monday night, there are teams that would have bent over backwards to get Dak Prescott no matter what it would take. But the Cowboys had to make a deal, and they did. So we'll discuss that with Bobby Belt coming up this hour as well. Conference tournament week. It's a big week. It's a fun week. I love Thursday, the start of the NCAA tournament. It's probably one of my favorite days in sports. I love to go to a local restaurant. I sit there pretty much all afternoon. I even tell the waitress I'm going to be there a while, right? But that's okay because it's a sportsy bar and they get it. So I tip pretty good because I know keeping a table is not the right thing to do. But I like to go. I like to eat food. I get dessert. I kind of make it a whole thing. But conference tournaments are a blast, too. There's a lot of storylines, and I think that was the sad part about last year was when we were dealing with COVID and the implications of what went on in Oklahoma City and then how it was trickling down into the other sports, lost was the energy and excitement of conference tournaments. Now, the NCAA tournament draws us all together, right? I mean, everybody from Seattle to Miami, from Presque Isle, Maine to San Diego are filling out brackets. We're all watching the same upsets. So when we get the opening games on Thursday and so much on Friday, when some little tiny school out of nowhere has got the big boy on the ropes, we all tune in because it's exciting and Cinderella and there's still an attraction. What the local conference tournaments do is really emphasize just your region, the teams you really know, the area you may live. If you live in SEC country or Big 12 country or Pac-12 country, Big 10 country, whatever. That is where you don't worry about how good Gonzaga is. You don't worry about how good Baylor may be. If it's your conference tournaments, everything your conference is about. That's what I missed last year, especially here in Nashville where the SEC tournament's going on. A lot of SEC pride here, and I'm glad it's back.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, the dumb, as we continue along here on a Wednesday. Glad you could be with us. All right, let's get things started. It is midweek, so let's get the good of the day.
All right, I'm sorry. I lost my page where I had the good of the day. And it's pretty actually quite simple. Congrats to the Mahomes.
Yeah, they having a baby?
No, they had one. And I can't,
so let's congratulate the Mahomes on what?
On their 1-month-old child getting a full ride scholarship to Texas Tech.
Yeah, because Texas Tech knows where this is, could go, right?
Right. Arguably,
let's honor one of our top alumni.
Well, I mean, arguably the most athletic alumni to come out of Texas Tech.
I would say so.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know what other great athletes may have came out of Texas Tech, but we all know that Mahomes came out of Texas Tech.
Michael Crabtree played out of Texas Tech.
Yes, he did. Yeah. I think Mahomes is slightly better.
Yeah,
but also, Brittany Mahomes. I guess that's her name, right? Yeah, Brittany. She was a standout soccer player herself.
So they're just figuring it. The odds are that this kid is going to be
now,
fantastic.
She wasn't at Texas Tech. She was at another school nearby. But
what difference does it make?
Exactly. She was at UT Tyler, University of Texas Tyler. I'm not 100% sure where that was, but she met...
I would think in Tyler.
Well, in Tyler, Texas. I'm not sure where Tyler, Texas is. I'm sorry. I know I've lived here for long enough. I still don't know. I can tell you where all the cities are in California. I can't tell you where all the cities are in Texas.
Gotcha.
But in her four seasons as a collegiate soccer player, she totaled 31 goals and 16 assists.
Did she?
So the odds are that her name is Sterling... That Sterling will be an athlete, a student athlete.
Very good.
And at 1 month old, already has a full ride scholarship.
Yeah, and also Texas Tech wants to make sure that the Mahomes contributions keep pouring in.
Oh, is that why they do this? Oh man, I didn't know it was for any booster involvement.
We're going to give your daughter a full ride scholarship. Thanks for the $100 million endowment, Mr. Mahomes.
Yes.
Pretty, really excited. We're going to open up a new library in the hospital wing in your honor.
Yeah. Also, what do you think of Mahomes Center?
Yeah. What about that?
You know, exactly. It's just going to be a small little gym tucked away next to the football field where people will always work out in your name.
Absolutely. So well done. Well done, Mahomes. Yeah. Already got a scholarship.
Already. I'm 1 month old. I can't even get my 4-year-old to do anything. So,
I know. She's an accomplished child already.
Yep.
It all goes downhill from here. She's lived up to all the expectations at 1 month.
Exactly.
Everything else is just going to be, oh, well, we'll see. All right. What's the bad of the day?
I don't know how I feel about this. Japan has decided to stage this summer's Tokyo Olympics without overseas spectators. Due to concern of COVID.
So they're not letting people come into the country to watch the Olympics.
Right. No fans are going to be, there will be fans in the stands, but they're only fans from Japan.
Now, if I'm a betting guy, I would normally have bet that the summer games will be canceled. But I'm not going to go down that road. I think there is a determination to get these games in the books.
Yeah.
Right? So that they'll just say, fine, no spectators, everybody's got to quarantine, everybody's got to be tested 7 times a day. We're getting this thing done. No matter what it costs, we're plowing through and getting this done. So I think I'm leaning in that direction. But this isn't like the bubble in Orlando. This isn't like other ways we've dealt with COVID. I mean, to bring the world together and then have the world take off and leave in 2 weeks or whatever it is, that's a whole different animal. I don't like it with you. I don't like it. I think, if you just want to hold the Olympics to make sponsors and broadcast partners happy, that's fine. But there is an element of the unity of people coming into one country that is important for these games. I think it's one of the main reasons it was established in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, it's
to conduct some goodwill around the world.
It almost feels like a 2-week moratorium for peace.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. That all these countries put aside their differences and say, you know what? Okay, instead of us firing at each other, let's just see how they do in badminton against each other or, weightlifting competition. Let's settle it there and see what country is best in this and that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll miss something. Now, I know, obviously, opening ceremonies, closing ceremonies are usually dominated by the host nation fans. I mean, that's just the way, because it's easier for them.
Absolutely.
But especially like the smaller competitions, I think it's even to the point where one of the rules in place is that athletes of that country can't go and visit or can't go and cheer on other athletes.
Yeah. See, that's another thing.
Like swimmers can't go and cheer on the track and field guys and vice versa.
Yeah, and it's always cool, like, when in opening ceremonies when, like, the U.S. has got hundreds of athletes, but then there's always those countries with, like, 9.
Yes.
Right? And they're all, like, together. They all want to be,
and their families in the stands waving a flag, and they're able to find them because they're the only ones cheering.
Exactly. It's, I remember in 85, 86 when I was in social studies, and I remember my social studies teacher talking about the 84 boycott and the 80 boycott, and that how it was very, it was disappointing because world politics had to circumvent what the Olympics were originally about, right? I mean, you had the United States saying, look, we're going to use our power, right? We're going to use our power to boycott the Olympics to send a political message. And then they returned the favor when it was in Los Angeles in 84. Yeah. And I remember feeling like, yeah, it's probably right. That's not really what we do with this stuff. So, yeah, to miss out on, you know, then it just becomes like, here, we're going to put it on TV and everybody can watch it around the world. But there is an element of the social spectator aspect of it that's going to be gone.
I mean, it's like you said. I mean, they're going to have the games just for the sake of having games. And the Olympics, I don't know if they're a big enough draw. It's not like us trying to get through an NFL season or an NBA season where we'll have games that are being played in empty stands because, like, you know, the end result is what we're trying to get to.
Right, right.
And the end result for the Olympics is like, okay, well, just, you know, instead of sending every athlete, I mean, sorry, Bangladesh, but do you need to send anybody? Because I don't. When was the last time you medaled?
Yeah, that's true.
You don't need to send that guy or that girl. No, I don't know. It's just, it's going to have, right. It's going to have a weird feeling.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird feeling. Look, I'm glad that they're holding the Olympics, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
It does feel like they're just doing it to satisfy the sponsors that have already poured, you know, millions or even billions of dollars into it.
Yeah, and NBC especially is like, we're not canceling this puppy again.
No.
Like, we have got a team ready to go to broadcast this thing.
And let's face it, you can't hold it in 2022 because the sports calendar will be off its rails then.
Because of the World Cup?
World Cup in the summer. Well, actually, you could do it next summer because the World Cup, I keep forgetting, is going to be held in November, December timeframe.
Because it's going to be in Qatar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's, I guess, all these players don't want to play in 150-degree weather.
Yeah, right. Well, weren't they creating a man-made cloud for the
They were going to create cool, a man-made awesome cloud. Thing. They had... Yeah. Air-conditioned fields where the stadium, the seating might be hot, but on the field surface, it was going to be nice and moderate temperatures.
You know how many people have died building these stadiums in Qatar? It's crazy. Yeah, I guess, the number is so sad.
I guess none of that came to fruition.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I wonder if the second part of it is going to be, because the other selling point that they had was that they were going to build all these iconic stadiums, tear them down brick by brick, and rebuild them in a location that needed... high-quality, high-class soccer stadiums around the world. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were going to, you know, either send them to Africa or send them to European leagues.
Why would they do that? Why didn't you just rebuild the stadium?
Again, that's part of all the selling point. I don't understand.
I doubt it will happen.
This was, I mean, if you ever want to point a finger at, hey, how did they get a stadium? You know, if there's any conspiracy to, bribery and getting a... And with FIFA, you point your finger at Qatar.
It is amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. Qatar got the World Cup to begin with, other than the fact that they
tried to spin it was Sepp Blatter, who was the president of FIFA at the time, did say, "Hey, I want to be the first to have a World Cup in every region of on the planet."
Yeah,
you know, yeah. South Africa made sense. Qatar, not so much.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I really, really don't care about the royal drama. I really don't.
Yeah, sure. It feels like you have to say that. I don't know why.
I know.
Like, everybody
I'm prefacing
is saying
it this way. But the dumb of the day is Piers Morgan, who for years has dished it out. But when it was finally dished onto him live on, I think the show's called Good Morning Britain or something like that, you know, original. He walked off the set and then just ended up quitting the show.
Give us some context of why did he walk off the show? What was coming at him?
I guess for the last, I don't know, however long Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have been dating. He and Meghan had a close relationship that severed ties because he started being hypercritical because Piers Morgan is hypercritical of everything. He, I guess, has blasted Meghan for years and years and years, including 2 days ago, including his recap of that interview they had with Oprah, where he was just burying Meghan.
All right, so just
so then, now, another guy in the set who I don't know said, "Hey, she has never said one bad thing about you, but you continue over and over and over again to, you know, put her down." And because that guy said that, he just walked off the set. And said, "Nope, I'm done. I'm sorry. I can't take this anymore. I'm out." And
so then he quit his job?
Then he quit the show. Yes.
Over that?
Over that.
My goodness.
I mean, the video of it is like, you know, I mean, he's just being dished back what he's been putting out there for years.
But here's the problem.
And the moment it comes back
to
him, he just walks off.
But that was a stupid thing of that guy to say. He's in his job is a commentator.
He's just the host of a morning show. He's Michael Strahan.
But hold on, he's a commentator. He's not this isn't a quid pro quo thing. Like, we criticize Jerry Jones, but we wouldn't take it if somebody said, he's never said a bad word about, he doesn't even know I exist. He doesn't care. What is he? It's what we do. It's what he does.
The backstory is that he and Meghan Markle had a really great relationship.
So what?
And then she ghosted him. And because
of course, she's a princess.
Right.
Whatever it is. It's, and she so doesn't he's have time been, to
but
deal
he's
with
been
that.
Finding ways to bury her year after year after year.
Oh, so the guy is saying you had a friendship with this B actress who's never starred in anything major.
Right.
You should have honored that friendship when she became the princess by not criticizing her, royalty.
Basically saying that, you know, she had every right to, you know, not communicate with you. That's her right.
Got
that's her.
Okay.
That's her privilege.
I like Piers
in life.
Morgan. That seems a little childish.
Yeah, just to walk off set and then quit the show. That was the other thing. I mean, walked off set and then just quit the show.
I just can't. That's silly because he should be good enough to have attacked that person and said, look, here's the 5 points why I did what I did. And you
right.
can take that and you can just, you know, you don't like that I did that? Well, here's why I'm doing it. Boom, 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 rather than take off the microphone and walk off the stage.
I mean, literally, you know, it's a disagreement between two colleagues on set and one of them just walks off because he can't handle what the one person is saying about him and just quits.
I would believe, being in this industry for a while and I've seen certain things like that happen or I've heard of things like that happen, that there's probably 1,000 more things behind the scenes than just that.
I hope so. Because on the surface, what we're all seeing.
I guarantee you he does not go into that place and go, I love working here. It's a great place. He wouldn't have done it if that. He probably is like, my contract's up. They're negotiating in bad faith or hate this person. I don't like this coworker. I really don't like coming in. I got 100 other offers to do other things and probably said, you know what? I'll start that process today. All right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb. It is a wake up call, Sports Map Radio. All right. Coming up, another Manning is going to be on your television, but will this one work out next on Wake Up Call?
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking, don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install those wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Bobby Belt will join us in just a couple of minutes. We will talk to him about the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Where does Dallas go from here with the money, the future? Because they've got a team to build around Prescott now. The defense is terrible. They need some help in a lot of different areas. But this deal, how will it help them?
You go out and get all the best offensive linemen.
I
know they had a decent offensive line, but you go out and make sure you go get better ones now, right?
Yeah, you better make sure whatever you're lacking, you tighten up. This is all or nothing now. This is the way it goes. So we'll have Bobby Belt coming on. Like I said, one of the best insiders that we have on any team. He's really, really good. So Eli Manning's got a TV show coming up.
Yeah.
It's called Eli's Places or something. It's going to be focusing on college football. And this, you know, Peyton Manning's got his own show. And now Eli's got his own show.
Peyton's Places.
Peyton Places. And
Eli Places. I guess they're original.
Can I just say, where did they... Like, that's impressive, isn't it, that you have a family, like Archie and Olivia raised two NFL Hall of Famers, if you want to put Eli in that category, and I know there's an argument about that, but nevertheless, Super Bowl champions that are now television stars, that are, like, good enough to be television stars? I mean, Peyton Manning is legitimately a television star. Like, I can't imagine Eli's going to be.
He is. Right? I mean, when Peyton is, you know, focusing on or he featured on commercials, I mean, he has a national campaign with Nationwide.
He's great.
Yeah. I mean, I think, did it all stem from that one Saturday Night Live skit,
the United Way, where he did that bit? Yeah, it's brilliant.
It's like from that moment on, Peyton's like, oh, you're a bona fide star. It's just we're maybe a year or two away from him having his own sitcom.
What makes Peyton work, and I've said this for years, what I love about it is, and you don't see big-time athletes do this, he loves the self-deprecating humor. He loves it. Those MasterCard ads where, you know, somebody will say, you're going down, Manning, and he'd be like, yeah, down to the spa, He loves those. He loved the United Way ad where he was playing the villain. He loved that. He loves these nationwide ads where Brad Paisley is like kind of rolling his eyes at him starting a band and playing music and making comments. He does not have a problem with that kind of humor, whereas guys who make a living being superstars at one particular thing don't like being downgraded a bit. Michael Jordan is never going to do that kind of thing where another star in a commercial is going to sort of have an upper hand in the selling point. Like, that's not going to happen. Eli, though, I'm kind of interested to see what Eli seems to be good on TV.
Yeah.
He seems to be okay, but he doesn't carry that like Peyton carries it.
We haven't seen him enough.
Right.
I mean, the only thing I can remember him being in was a SportsCenter commercial.
Right. That's it, really. I mean, I've seen him sell this hot sauce, which is kind of funny.
Did he ever host Saturday Night Live?
I think he did.
I think he did. Was in New York all those years.
And his Super Bowl champion. Bring Eli aboard. See if he's as good as his brother.
Yeah. He was never invited back.
Right. But, we'll see. My overriding question, though, is how come neither one of these guys want to be coaches?
Right.
Like, they live and breathe football. I mean, it's been their – they are the football royal family in America, aren't they?
Well, I mean, the other thing you got to ask yourself, and I – for Cooper.
Yeah.
Cooper, the third brother. I was struggling to remember the name, but then it just hit me, Cooper. Does he feel like not accomplished?
Left out. Well, I actually looked this up a few years ago. Apparently, he's a big executive in oil and gas, I think.
Okay.
He's had a very good career in that field. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not NFL superstar quarterback good, right?
Yeah, but I mean, if we know anything, Eli will probably do well at this just as much as Peyton has, and then probably get a second award before Peyton does.
Do you think if you were Peyton Manning, just take Peyton for a second, do you think it's just too risky to be a coach for the image?
Maybe.
Like, you know that, you know, hey, listen, good coaches, good football minds have failed, have been fired, have been let go. Isn't it just better to ride sort of the gravy train of you're good at this, people want you to do it, you're going to get paid a lot of money to do it. If you coach, yeah, you might win a Super Bowl, and that would be fantastic, but you could be fired too. You could be let go too. You could fail at it. And maybe you've reached a point in your life where you're like, you know what? I just want to do the things I'm good at. I don't want to try anything new. I'm too old to try anything new. I don't want to do that. I just want to do what people like me doing.
I'm also surprised.
Television shows.
I'm also surprised that neither one of them have gone the analyst route.
Yeah. Well, I've been waiting. I'm seriously waiting for the day where somebody finally gives Manning whatever he wants to be an analyst at NBC, CBS, wherever.
Maybe it's the two of them together. One, you know, one's doing play-by-play. Because I can see Peyton. I can see Peyton doing play-by-play.
Let me be honest with you. If one of the Mannings becomes a play-by-play announcer, I'll quit the business. I'll be done. Okay, that is a talent, a skill that you have to train yourself for. It is not as easy as people make it out to be.
But couldn't you see Peyton doing it?
No,
I can hear Peyton doing it. Come on,
first and 10 at the 22-yard line. Back to throw goes Johnson. Nice pass over. Might be a first down. Let's see where they spot the ball. Eli, what'd you think of that? I thought it was pretty good. All right, Eli, thank you. You going to listen to that all day for 60 minutes of football? They're going to run the ball, breaks off a tackle, down to the 13, maybe 14. I can't really read it. It's up high up here. Somebody will tell me where that is. Listen to that for 3 hours in a CBS broadcast? Come on now. Don't you want the smooth pipes of Jim Nantz? Right? Or Al Michaels? You kidding me?
Bring the whole Manning family into the booth. Come on.
Who's an up-and-coming play-by-play announcer? Ian Eagle's been around forever. Yeah. Like, his son is good.
Ian Eagle Jr.
Noah Eagle, I think, is good. Kevin Burkhardt is pretty. Oh, he's in his 40s. Like, give me a 25-year-old up-and-coming play-by-play announcer on the CBS team. It'd probably be better than Peyton Manning calling games.
What about it? What if you did a good matchup, say like Kevin Harlan with Peyton Manning?
That would be good. No, I'd like that. I think that
would be entertaining.
Yeah, I think
they could take
fantastic.
Over as the number one crew for any.
I agree completely.
Any announcing crew.
Manning, it's the best. All right, Bobby Belt's going to join us. Talk Dallas Cowboys. How'd they pull this off with Dak Prescott? More importantly, how did Dak Prescott pull this off? As we continue with Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, like I mentioned earlier, people still buzzing about the Dak Prescott deal with the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Bobby Belt joins us. He is the co-host of the Boys and Girl podcast, also a Cowboys insider. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good. How are you, Tony?
Good, man. All right. So for a lot of us, it came as a kind of a, whoa, look at that. But as the details were starting to unwind, how soon did you guys get a feeling like a deal was imminent and it was coming and it was going to be this big?
I think everybody had a sense that it was more positive this time around and it was more likely to happen this time around. I don't think anybody expected it to happen as rapidly as it did on Monday. I think everybody was kind of caught off guard when the team sent out the note. But, I mean, I think it's about where everybody thought it was going to end up in terms of annual value. But, I mean, the really surprising thing here is just how much the Cowboys completely conceded on everything. Like, I don't understand why there was 2 years of fighting only for them to say, we're going to give you everything. We're going to give you the 4 years. We're giving you the $40 million annually. We're giving you the 126 guaranteed. And then we're giving you stuff that, like, we weren't even talking about in – you know, public spaces like a no trade clause and a no tag clause. And so, I mean, Dak won across the board in this negotiation. I think that was kind of the thing that was a little surprising is the Cowboys didn't seem to take anything they wanted in this one.
And that seems to be the overriding question for a lot of us on sort of the outside, wondering why didn't this happen sooner? Why couldn't these two sides come together? Why didn't Dallas see that inevitably this would have happened on the second franchise tag?
I think that The best explanation is for why it didn't happen is because in 2019, when he first came available to negotiate, the Cowboys came in really low on his first offer. And I think it laid some bad blood that lingered into last offseason. And there was some tension there between Todd France, his agent, and the Cowboys. And the Cowboys have a little bit of history of tension with Todd France to begin with. So I think there were some complicating factors to begin with. That first offseason in 2019, I put completely on the Cowboys as to why it didn't happen. Last year, I think that probably tends a little bit more towards the agent and his unwillingness to, you know, come to the table frequently and talk it out. But, I mean, I think in the end, they got close enough last offseason at the very end that I think they had enough of the framework in place so that when they started negotiations now, they were able to knock it out a little quicker.
From Dak Prescott's camp, they did everything right. You take out the insurance policy, you wait, you do all those things. But one of the other factors is the Cowboys went 6-10 without him for most of the season and couldn't make the playoffs in a division that was literally giving it away.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of selling points here that were going to be tough for the Cowboys to argue back against. And, I mean, Jerry Jones even gave an interview on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas at the end of December where he said, you know, Dak has all the leverage in the world, which is so unlike Jerry. It almost sounded like to concede in public that the player has all the leverage almost sounded like, well, that sounds like you don't have any intention of signing him then, or you're playing some sort of weird funny business if you're willing to just announce that in public. But, I mean, in the end, I think it was just they had reached a point where they knew they had lost the negotiation and they just needed to get it done.
How much did Jerry Jones' age factor into the fact that he didn't want to play the let's find a new quarterback game?
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it. I mean, he doesn't want to waste any more years. I think he was one of the big drivers last year when there was discussion about the season getting canceled or not being able to get played. He was one of the big drivers in the league that said, no, we got to play, we got to push through. And I think it's because he realizes he's, you know, running out of opportunities to try and, you know, build one without Jimmy. And so I think that was of importance to him, and I think they knew that for as much as Dak Prescott gives them on Sundays and what he is as a player, they really realized last year as soon as he was pulled out of the mix and some of the turmoil started and some of the bitterness that was leaking out in the media with the players, I think they realized just how important he was Monday to Saturday, and I think it was really important to them of, all right, this is our guy in every conceivable way in terms of who he is as a leader, as an ambassador for the team, and what he does with the quarterback position. And so I think they just reached a point where it had to get done, and they were willing to do it at any cost.
There's obviously extremes in almost every sort of category, right? There's maybe the Cowboys overpaid a guy immediately or waited a long time like they did with Dak. Overall, though, how have the Cowboys treated guys they really like, they really need, in terms of the negotiations? How, just on a, as a general rule, how do the Cowboys go about doing this on a normal basis?
I mean, their last few negotiations with guys have gotten ugly because, I mean, the Ezekiel Elliott contract extension lasted right up until the season, and there was a lot of bitter, argument there, and they got better with DeMarcus Lawrence when he got on the second franchise tag. And there was a point where, DeMarcus Lawrence said, all right, well, then just trade me. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of they've got this history now, and even going back to the Dez Bryant franchise tag in the offseason of 2015, where they were playing games right up to the last second, and Dez was getting really anxious and upset. And so this has kind of become their MO a little bit. This one lingered a little longer than the others, but this has been a little bit of a problem for them. But in the end, in all these negotiations, they have buckled on everybody. I mean, the last negotiation they really won was probably Tyron Smith's extension 7 years ago. I mean, all these other ones you look at, they end up giving everything the player wants. They buckle. And I think that that's a big part of what Dak Prescott and his team knew, is that that's kind of how the Cowboys operate, is that when it comes down to it, they fold in the negotiation. And so I think that this one played out similarly to what you've seen with the last two or three big extensions they've done.
In terms of where they go from here, now that this deal is done, how do the Cowboys utilize this offseason to fill all the needs that they need?
I think that's going to come mainly through the draft. Last year was the most they had been active in free agency in a really long time, and it backfired in a lot of ways. Everson Griffin wasn't happy here. They had to trade him not long after. They had to cut three of the guys that they had signed in the offseason, Don Terry Poe and Darryl Worley, most notably. They had Gerald McCoy get hurt in training camp. I mean, they cut Ha-Ha Clinton Dix at the end of training camp. It kind of blew up in their faces a little bit. And I think that they're just looking at with reduced cap and picking in the top half of each round this year. I think they're looking at it as, all right, let's just do our best to build through the draft here this year and reassess our options on the outside whenever we've got a better established cap in 2022.
You know, we always know that teams change images, but Ron and I have been talking about this for a while. The NFC is a conference that for the last 8 years has given us seven different Super Bowl participants. How do the Cowboys get into that conversation? What do they need to not necessarily go to the Super Bowl, but when we start a season, they're at least a team we would consider and not be surprised they were there?
I mean, I think they were that before it kind of fell apart. I think they were that at the start of 2019. I think a lot of people viewed them as decent favorites or one of the real contenders. And so it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about them like that, because they had that really strong defense in 2018, and the offense seemed to be humming along. Dak and Cooper were really aligning with each other. So I think that they're not too far removed from that. They just got to get things right on defense. I don't know if it's an overnight fix, because things have gotten so rough with Jalen Smith. They're about to have, their corners basically reset with Chidobe Awuzie and Jordan Lewis, and their safety Xavier Woods potentially leaving in free agency. So I think that they've got to really invest in defense in this draft and hit on guys the way they did last year and continue to see growth from guys. And so that's probably the biggest thing for them. If they can do that, they'll be back in contention relatively quickly, I think. I mean, they went 4-12 in 2015. They had a great draft in the spring of 2016, and then they came out and went 13-3. Yeah. So, I mean, they can do it again if they hit on their guys this draft.
from the way Prescott played this, and a lot, he's getting a lot of accolades, his camp is getting a lot of accolades for all of the betting on yourself kind of thing, but there was a little luck involved, there's a little circumstance involved, but are there lessons that younger quarterbacks can now take in negotiations with their teams based on what Prescott and how, what he did in holding the Cowboys' feet to the fire?
Yeah, and then the quarterback always wins. That's what it comes down to in negotiations in the NFL, that either you sign with your team, you get the extension to hand it over, or they don't hand it over and you're Kirk Cousins and you go out and you reset the market and get a fully guaranteed deal with Minnesota. So, I mean, I think everybody sees quarterback prices are continuing to go up. It's a little bit like the way the housing market used to be viewed. Like, it was just always a continuing appreciating asset, and that's where quarterbacks are. And so I think that the bigger lesson is just for teams, which is just get it done. Get it done as early as possible and save yourself some money. Because the Cowboys could have gotten this done 2 years ago for probably – they could have saved themselves probably $40 million over 4 years, and they played it cute, and then here they are handing him over everything in the end anyway. So I think the bigger lesson is for teams, which is just get it done.
It's amazing because in the end, I didn't think it would actually happen, but it is amazing that a 27-year-old quarterback almost walked in free agency next year.
Yeah, I mean, the only times we really have examples of, like, teams letting their quarterbacks walk away were Drew Brees with the Chargers,
right,
which they had already drafted Phillip Rivers and had him sitting for a year when Drew kind of found his game. And so you can't really blame the Chargers for that one, I don't think. But then the other one was Washington, and Cousins leaves and starts to flourish in Minnesota. Meanwhile, they're doing things like trading picks, So that they can acquire Case Keenum and Alex Smith to count $35 million combined against their cap. They're, you know, taking Dwayne Haskins with a top 15 pick and cutting him a year later, and they're still sitting here looking at, well, if we just have a quarterback, we could possibly contend. And I mean, this was 3 years ago that Kirk Cousins walked out, and so it's pretty amazing that Dallas let it get to this point and even flirted with this, especially for a team that went 7 years between Romo and Aikman and saw how that wilderness looks like, and it's not pretty.
Exactly. Bobby, I think you're one of the best insiders in the game. I really appreciate your insight always on the Cowboys, and I thank you always for making time for the show. Appreciate it, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
You got it, man. Bobby Belt, again, the co-host of the Boys and Girl podcast, all on the Cowboys, Cowboys Insider, also a field producer for NFL Network. Again, one of the best in the business on the Prescott Cowboys situation as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new home, Rocket can. A little teaser for tomorrow, Throwback Thursday. I think it's one of the more important Throwback Thursdays that we've done. We've had a lot of fun with that for the 2+ years that we've been on the show. I think tomorrow is going to be one of the best ones, at least one of the more important ones that we've ever done. So don't miss the show tomorrow. We'll get more college basketball, etc. I will say this, and I mean this in all honesty. I love Bobby Bell. I think he's brilliant. I think he really knows his team. We get a lot of good people on this show. We get a lot of good people who know their teams inside and out. Bobby is on the list, high up on the list of people who know their product in and out.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows everything that's going on in that organization. He is really inside. And every time he comes on, and we have had him on a lot, whenever Dallas makes any news at all, he knows that issue cold, absolutely cold. He doesn't bounce around or try to
Find the words.
Like,
it's effortless.
There is a science to not answering a question to make it look like you answered a question. Like, there's a science to it. He doesn't do any of that. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah, I do it every single day.
I know what this is. I know exactly where this is going. I know exactly what happened and who said what and whatnot. And that's why I always like having Bobby on, because when it comes to anything the Cowboys do that's newsworthy, he brings it. And again, we were even talking about this during the break. I've been doing this a long time. I mean, I've been doing this since my whole life, pretty much watching sports, knowing that one day I wanted to cover sports. The idea that a 27-year-old quarterback was inches away from free agency, from free agency, walking into people's offices to have conversations about becoming their franchise quarterback in the NFL that has done everything you can do to prevent that from happening.
And like we said yesterday, you and I both agree to this. I don't know if he's a top five quarterback, but I feel he's certainly top 10.
He is absolutely top 10.
And that literally is just a gold brick walking around if he is top 10.
Absolutely. And if the Cowboys weren't going to give him $40 million a year, somebody absolutely was going to give him $40 million a year, without question.
I mean, it would have started a huge bidding war. I mean, he might have been able to top 40.
Listen, this is the league has brilliantly constructed its method of operations to prevent this from happening. Like he said, Drew Brees, right, was circumstance, right? Right? He had the shoulder injury. They drafted Phillip Rivers. Brees starts playing well, but you kind of already built in the future. And remember when Brees went to New Orleans, it's not the same. It was not the same as a 27-year-old quarterback that you feel if he's healthy. People were really concerned about that shoulder injury and playing it out and how long it would last. And Brees has been brilliant. Brees has been more than brilliant. But we don't see this. We do not see. And again, I know he's coming off the ankle injury and he's expected to fully recover. But still, Dallas, because of their hubris, because of the low ball, and like he said, the bad blood, it almost turned into Dak. I mean, what if Dak had said, no, I am not. You know what?
I know.
I'm done.
I'm wondering if he was there at the no part. And that's why the Cowboys conceded on every single line item. He's like, yes, you can have everything.
I think I'd actually like being courted by every team in this league that needs a quarterback, which, by the way, is a lot.
Yeah.
So I think, you know what? I think I'm going to turn down anything you send my way. I'll play this next year on your $37.5 million franchise tag. I know you won't franchise tag me again, and I will see you on another uniform. He was that close. It's incredible. And so Dallas had to give him everything he wanted. And as Bobby said, even things they didn't want and got.
That's just too funny to me.
Unbelievable. Jake Asman Show's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.